This is Soundside, and what do you know about black holes?
Let me take you on a short visit to a black hole. So let's say you fall in feet first. The force of gravity on your feet would be 100 times larger as you get near than the force of gravity on your head. And you would be stretched to death like a saltwater taffy. That stretching adds heat to the material as it falls in. And that's what we saw around the rim of the black hole.
And so when you see the ring, because the image looks like a glowing donut, that ring is part of that matter that's being stretched and destroyed as it's being pulled into the black hole?
Yes, that's correct. That's right. It gets really hot as it falls in until finally it goes in and we don't hear from it again. But it's at a temperature of almost a billion degrees, we think, before it goes in. And that hot gas emits X-rays and radio rays and, I mean, optical light, which you can't see. All it emits across the entire spectrum. All that we can see is that light which penetrates the dust between us and the black hole.
While we were all going about our puny mortal existences on this tiny rock representing not even a pinprick in the grand spiral scheme of our galaxy, an array of telescopes stretching from Hawaii to Western Europe to the South Pole captured the first ever image of the supermassive black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It's called Sagittarius A star, and it was first discovered back in February 1974. And this very important snapshot was just released last week. But back in the 1970s, Professor Bruce Balick, now at the University of Washington's Department of Astronomy, was part of the team that first found Sag A star. And he said he's getting to finally see pictures of the black hole. He finds it thrilling.
Now, for the very first time, that black hole has a face on it. And I was so thrilled to see that. I mean, up until now, Sagittarius A star has been a monster lurking in a dark cavern where you can't see it. Finally, it's been exposed. Now we can't see the black hole, but the ring around it that we've all seen is a ring of extremely hot gas, which is falling into the black hole and getting heated up by the strong gravitational force at the surface, at the event, what's called the event horizon of the black hole. And that emission is the key to seeing the black hole, which of course is black. Without that signature, we wouldn't know that we were looking at a black hole.
And I want to get more to the details of what we're actually seeing in this image, because again, I find it fascinating. As you said, the ring is this, you know, matter and gas that are surrounding the black hole. But first, just on a semantic level, is it a relief to finally be able to definitively say, yes, there is a black hole at the center of the galaxy? This is something that has been theorized since the 1960s, but for so long we've had to talk around it. I mean, even the two astronomers who shared the 2020 Nobel Prize in Physics a couple of years ago, when they won for their work on Sagittarius A star, the award actually had to be for a discovery of a supermassive compact object at the center of the galaxy. They couldn't even say black hole. Is it a relief to finally be able to just say those words, yes, we have a black hole at the center of the galaxy?
Yes, it is. I think we all knew it was a black hole. If it wasn't a black hole, it was something much, much stranger. It's something that warps the orbits of the stars that are anywhere near it. It produces a fling of X-rays and high energy radiation, unlike anything else in the Milky Way. I mean, completely unlike anything in the Milky Way. So nobody had any serious doubts that this was a black hole. But in science, you got to choose your words carefully because they can be misunderstood. The scientific significance of this image is that it looks like every black hole should. That is a strong prediction of Einstein's theory of general relativity. And if this image didn't have a big black spot with some fuzz around the outside, it would be back to the drawing board.
Well, take us back to 1974 when you and Robert Brown were searching for what became Sagittarius A star. How did you start your discovery and why were you looking for this black hole?
At that time, when we were doing the observations, the ink was still drying on my PhD thesis. I was a young whippersnapper and willing to take a chance on some sort of a discovery, but not willing to use the words black hole, because at that point in time, black holes were much more science fiction than they were serious physics. We knew that they could exist, but there was no evidence at the time that any object was a black hole. Now, in the last 50 years, the evidence piled up and piled up. So when Sag A star black hole was found, everyone was actually relieved, not surprised. But anyway, going back to 1974, I had been a postdoctoral researcher at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Charlottesville, Virginia. The instrument that we used had just been built, and we were being allowed to use it to take, I'm going to use the words a scientific joyride, but rather to go exploring with it, to aim it at objects in which we thought we might see objects which would be unique to the new instrument. That is, this instrument really had never been tested. Nobody knew for sure that it worked. We had a program going to look for really hot stars in star formation regions around the Milky Way. Up until that time, there was some hint that we would find something, but it was going to be difficult. Now, we had a list of about a half a dozen regions to look at. And in fact, we saw nothing in any of them until we reached Sag A star. And then the little chart recorder, the pen on the chart recorder, started whizzing, and I was just thrilled, almost scared. I had no idea what it was. The thought of a black hole comes much later when I'm writing the paper. Being new to the field and looking for a job, I was reluctant to use the word black hole. It had come up in our conversations many times, but I didn't want to see it in print because for somebody at my age at the time, that would sound sort of brash.
Were you afraid that people wouldn't take you seriously?
I wasn't. My only concern at the time was people who have jobs to offer wouldn't take me seriously.
And you ended up having this, you know, naming right, of course, you and Bob Brown, who discovered it. Why does Sag A star have the star after it, the asterisk after the name? What's the significance of that?
Okay, let me clarify this. We did not use the name Sag A star. My colleague Bob Brown, 2 years later, was observing this again, and it was in a paper that he wrote. He coined that term. Sagittarius is a constellation. A was the brightest radio source in Sagittarius. There was a B and a C and a D. Bob added the star to be sure that it was clear that we were talking about a little tiny but very bright source right smack in the middle of the Milky Way.
Well, today, this new image of Sagittarius A star, it was captured by the Event Horizon Telescope. And that's a network of 8 observatories scattered all across the globe. Talk to me about how technology has changed for astronomers since you and Bob first observed Sag A star back in the 1970s.
The idea of using many, many antennas spread around is not a new one. The little old interferometer, it's called, that I was using in Green Bank, West Virginia, is an example of one of these. Over the course of years, we got better and better at building large arrays with bigger telescopes and much, much better electronics. And so it was realized fairly early on that arrays that span an entire continent are the way to go. Why is that? Because the bigger the array of telescopes, the sharper the image is. And if you want to see little tiny things, you really don't want to smear them out. You have to have the sharpest possible images, and that's what size does for an interferometer. To their incredible credit, the group that put the Hubble Earth Telescope together managed to make this work, spanning at least five different governments on four different continents. I've lost track. Just the funding and the politics alone are a huge accomplishment. It took them 25 years of concerted effort to put that array together and make it run. They just did a miraculous job.
Now, the data for this image of Sag A star, it was collected in 2017, but it has taken 5 years to assemble it into this image. Why does that take so long?
Well, for one thing, before you open your mouth with something as exciting as this announcement, you really want to make sure that you've ticked every box, you've checked every gremlin and excised them, that the data are good and strong and very, very carefully and meticulously analyzed. I can't tell you why it took them 5 years, but I'm not surprised. It's a very daunting job. The amount of data is huge, and processing the data to extract a signal, which is an unambiguous image of the Sagittarius A star, is a lot of work.
Professor, is there anything that folks should know? For example, this is a supermassive black hole, this Sag A star at the center of the Milky Way. There are, of course, multiple types of black holes, stellar, intermediate, miniature. What is unique about a supermassive black hole?
Well, it's certainly the gravity. Nothing has more surface gravity than a black hole. And the black hole in the center of M87 and our Milky Way are gigantic ones. In the center of our galaxy, the black hole has a mass 4 million times that of the sun. And in M87, it's more like 10 billion times the mass of the sun. That's a lot of mass. Now, what we need to learn is how these things form. If you go back into the very early universe, it's just kind of a general soup of gas. The stars haven't yet started to form. Why did black holes form? And why did galaxies nucleate around them? I think the second question is pretty simple. It's the same answer that I would give my granddaughter, who asked me about 5 years ago, how do raindrops form? And of course, they form around dust particles in the atmosphere that nucleate the condensation of water. But what we don't know is what nucleated the origin of black holes, and whether this black hole and the others like it reached their masses almost immediately, or whether their masses increased slowly over the course of time as they gobbled up the material in their vicinity. It's a huge question, and it's a very important one if you want to understand where galaxies come from.
What about the age of the stars that are near Sag A star? I understand that scientists assumed that you would not see young stars nearby a black hole because it was theorized that black holes would disrupt star formation. The gases wouldn't be able to coalesce. So what you would see getting pulled into a black hole would only be older stars. But now we're seeing that there are some young stars near black holes like Sag A star. Do we know anything about why that is, or why maybe the initial assumptions were incorrect?
When you look in the regions of the centers of galaxies, not with enough detail to see the black hole, all you ever see are young stars. So it's true that the original expectation is that only old stars would be orbiting the black hole. Now, many of these old stars have very loosely bound outer layers. The stars have swelled up to the size of the Earth's orbit. The gravity that holds that outer gas of the stars is really weak. And if they go close to the galactic center will swipe their outer layers and swallow them. Now, if there are enough of these stars releasing enough gas, then puddles may form in the gas, which is eventually going to fall in, but in the process, make new stars. Now, it is true that when we look at black holes in, let's say, M87, we don't see any signs of young stars. And it is probably the case that M87 and the region around it is just so incredibly bright that the young stars get lost in all the light that's being emitted there. I mean, it's hard to say for sure. You can't say for sure anything that you can't observe.
You talk about the origins of black holes and why they initially form as being a big question in your mind. Are there any other areas of research in black hole science that you are excited about and the future of what we might learn?
Black hole research is not currently my field of interest. I now work on how stars like the sun end their lives, and that turns out to be a wonderful story, but that's for a different day. Black holes have not surprised us. After we find them, they behave just the way they should. So aside from asking questions about their numbers and their masses, I think we pretty well understand them. And I would be excited if I were wrong.
Well, I definitely want to tune in, and connect with you on the death of our own star and have those conversations in the future, because that seems like something that would be highly relevant for us here on Earth. Let's connect for that conversation on another day. Professor Bruce Balick with the University of Washington's Department of Astronomy and a member of the team that first found Sagittarius A star back in the 1970s. I wanted to connect with you as we are looking at this first official snapshot of the black hole at the center of our galaxy. Thank you very much for joining us today on SoundSide.
You're quite welcome. I loved it.
And if you want to check out a picture of Sagittarius A star, NASA's got you covered at nasa.gov.